This article is brought to you by the best-selling books Eat Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to rebuild trust after unresolved tension has damaged a working relationship. A practical process for repairing what silence and avoidance have broken. In short, unresolved tension does not fade on its own. It sets like concrete, hardening into permanent professional distance unless someone takes deliberate action to break it. Rebuild trust after tension through acknowledgement, not apology alone. The repair process requires preparation, honesty, and sustained follow-through. One good conversation opens the door. Consistent behavior over weeks walks through it. Definition: rebuild trust after unresolved tension means taking deliberate, structured steps to restore a functional and respectful working relationship that has been damaged by conflict, was never properly addressed, acknowledged, or resolved between two or more people. There's a particular kind of silence that sits between two colleagues who used to work well together. You have probably felt it. Meetings where someone is pointedly polite. Emails that are technically professional, but stripped of any warmth. A working relationship where rebuild trust after the damage was done seemed impossible, so nobody tried. I watched a senior manager and his project lead go 18 months in that silence once. Both were talented. Both were hurting. Neither moved first. The project suffered, the team suffered, and eventually one of them left. The relationship never had to end that way. It ended because nobody had a clear process for repair, and because the longer the silence lasted, the more dangerous breaking it seemed. This article gives you that process. It will not be comfortable, but it will work. Why unresolved tension is so difficult to address. Most tension at work does not start with a single dramatic blow-up. It starts with something small, a comment in a meeting that landed badly, a decision made without consultation, a piece of feedback that felt like an attack. The person on the receiving end says nothing. Neither does the person who caused it. Both move on, or try to. The trouble is, the body keeps score. Every subsequent interaction carries the weight of that unaddressed moment. Small things start to feel like confirmation of the original wound. Professional distance grows. Before long, two people who could collaborate easily are performing a kind of careful, guarded dance around each other, and nobody can quite remember when it started. This is what makes tension management so hard to practice. The longer you wait, the more history you carry into any repair attempt. The other person has built a story about you in your absence. You have built one about them. Walking back into honest dialogue means dismantling those stories in real time, under the pressure of a conversation you have probably been dreading for weeks. The process below does not eliminate the discomfort. What it does is structure it, so the discomfort serves a purpose. What needs to be true before you start? Skipping this part is one of the most common reasons repair conversations fail. Before you approach the other person, two things must be genuinely in place. You must know your part in it. Not their part. Yours. You do not need to carry all the blame, but you need to be clear about what you contributed to the damage. If you walk into this conversation believing you are entirely innocent and the other person is entirely at fault, you will not rebuild anything. You will reopen the wound. You must want the relationship to work, not just to be right. This sounds obvious. In practice, many people seek repair conversations primarily to be validated, to have their grievance acknowledged, or to explain themselves clearly. Those are understandable needs, but they will sink the process. Your goal here is a functional, respectful working relationship. Keep that in front of you. If either of these preconditions is missing, take more time before approaching the other person. A conversation started without genuine readiness does more damage than the silence it replaces. The repair process. 6 steps to rebuild trust after tension. Step 1. Request the conversation carefully. Do not ambush the other person. Pulling someone aside in a corridor or raising the issue at the end of a team meeting sets you both up to fail. Send a brief, direct message requesting a private conversation. Keep the stakes appropriately clear without being dramatic. Try something like, "I would like to find 30 minutes to talk with you privately this week. I want to address the tension between us and see if we can sort it out. Let me know what works for you." That message does 3 things. It names the issue honestly, signals your intent to resolve it, and gives the other person time to prepare. That preparation matters. You have been living with this decision for days. They deserve more than 30 seconds to process it. For practical guidance on diffusing entrenched tension between two people, who have stopped cooperating, the approach outlined in How to Use the Deal Method to Diffuse Tension Between Two Colleagues Who Refuse to Cooperate runs well alongside this step. Step 2. Prepare what you will say and what you will hear. The repair conversation will not go perfectly. Prepare for that. Write down three things before you meet the specific incident or pattern you want to acknowledge. Be honest account of your contribution to the damage and two or three concrete changes you're willing to make. Then prepare to listen. The other person will have a version of events that differs from yours. Some of it will sting. If you spend a conversation waiting for your turn to correct their account, you will walk out with a worse relationship than you walked in with. Listening is not agreeing. You can hear someone's experience of a situation without accepting their entire interpretation of it. Practice the phrase "I hear you" as a genuine response, not a preamble to your rebuttal. Step 3. Open with acknowledgement, not apology. There is a meaningful difference between an apology and an acknowledgement. An apology can become a performance that lets you feel better without actually addressing what happened. An acknowledgement lands differently. It names the specific thing, takes clear responsibility for your part, and sits with the discomfort of what was caused. Open the conversation with something direct. I know things between us have been strained since the review meeting in March. I have been thinking about my part in that, and I want to be honest about it before we talk about anything else. Then name your part specifically. Not if I upset you, but when I dismissed your input in front of the team. Specificity is what earns credibility. Vague apologies feel like noise. Specific acknowledgements feel like truth. Step 4. Give them space to respond without defending yourself. After your opening, stop talking. This is harder than it sounds. The silence will feel enormous. Let it sit. The other person needs to decide whether to trust this opening or protect themselves from it. When they do speak, your only job is to listen and reflect back what you're hearing. You are not defending, clarifying, or correcting. You're demonstrating that their experience of the situation is real to you, even if your own experience of it was different. If they say something that feels unfair or inaccurate, make a note of it mentally. There will be a point in the conversation to address it. That point is not immediately after they finish speaking. Give their words a moment to breathe first. This stage is where most repair attempts break down. The moment one person hears something that feels unjust, the conversation shifts from repair to debate. If you can hold yourself steady here, you're already doing something most people cannot. Step 5. Find the shared ground. Once both of you have spoken honestly, redirect the conversation toward what you both want. In most working relationships, the answer is the same: to work effectively without the weight of unresolved conflict making everything harder than it needs to be. Ask a direct question. What would a better working relationship look like to you? Listen to the answer without evaluating it. Then share your own. Often, people are surprised to find their needs are closer than the distance between them suggested. From this shared ground, name two or three specific, practical commitments, not grand declarations. Real, small actions. I will check in with you before making decisions that affect your team. I will flag disagreements in private before raising them in group settings. Specific commitments are the only kind that can be tracked, kept, and trusted. This connects naturally to the broader skills covered in why effective feedback is the backbone of workplace growth, because genuine repair requires the same honest, direct exchange that good feedback demands. Step 6. Follow through, visibly and consistently. Here is the truth of it: the conversation is not the repair. The conversation is only the beginning of it. What actually rebuilds trust is everything you do in the weeks that follow. Hold to the commitments you made. If you said you would communicate differently, communicate differently. If you said you would bring disagreements to the person directly, do that, even when it is inconvenient. Every time you honor what you said, you deposit something into the account. Every time you slip back into old patterns, you make a withdrawal. The other person is watching. They are not watching dramatically or consciously, but they notice. Trust is rebuilt in 100 small moments that nobody announces. Be the person who earns it back quietly, through action, over time. When the relationship is remote or geographically separated. Rebuilding trust when the two of you rarely share a physical space requires the same process, with one important adjustment: the medium matters more than people think. A repair conversation conducted over email is almost always a mistake. Text strips out nonverbal cues, and nonverbal cues are a significant part of what communicates sincerity. If you cannot be in the same room, use a video call. Turn your camera on. Sit in a quiet space with no distractions visible. These are small signals, but they tell the other person that this conversation matters enough to give it your full presence. Remote working relationships are also more vulnerable to backsliding after a repair conversation, because casual corridor moments are not available to reinforce the change. Schedule brief, regular check-ins in the weeks following the conversation, not to revisit the conflict, but to demonstrate continued respect and engagement. Consistency of contact, more than any single gesture, is what re-establishes trust across distance. If the tension has spread to affect wider team dynamics, the how to use the bridge method to rebuild synergy after a team breakdown offers a structured way to address the group layer alongside the individual repair. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What gets in the way? Three patterns that derail repair. The mistake: apologizing and then waiting for the relationship to feel normal again immediately. Why it happens: people confuse the conversation with the outcome. One honest exchange feels like it should be enough. What to do instead? Accept that repair is a process measured in weeks, not in a single conversation. Keep your commitments. Give the relationship time to rebuild its ground. The mistake: raising the repair conversation as an opportunity to relitigate old grievances. Why it happens: the conversation surfaces stored hurt, and old grievances feel suddenly relevant again. What to do instead? Before the meeting, decide which issues belong in this conversation and which do not. Stick to that decision. Every additional grievance you introduce extends the damage rather than resolving it. The mistake: treating being heard as the goal rather than moving forward together. Why it happens: after weeks or months of silence, the need to be understood can feel overwhelming. What to do instead? Separate your need to be heard from the goal of this specific conversation. The repair conversation is about the relationship's future. Your need to be heard is real and worth addressing, but perhaps in a different context or with a trusted colleague. For a structured method to address team conflicts that have fractured broader cooperation, see how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy. Your repair conversation checklist. Use this before you approach the other person and after the conversation to track your follow-through. Before the conversation: number 1, write down the specific incident or pattern that caused the damage. Number 2, identify your honest contribution to it without minimizing or deflecting. Number 3, list 2 or 3 specific, concrete changes you're willing to make. Number 4, draft your opening 2 sentences. Keep them direct and free of justification. Number 5, prepare yourself to listen without defending during the conversation. Number 1, open with specific acknowledgement, not a vague apology. Number 2, stop talking after your opening. Let the other person respond. Number 3, reflect back what you hear before making your own points. Number 4, name shared commitments clearly, with specific actions attached. Number 5, agree on what good working together looks like going forward. After the conversation: number 1, honor every commitment you made, starting within 48 hours. Number 2, note any backsliding into old patterns and correct it quickly. Number 3, check in briefly within the first 2 weeks, casually and without drama. Number 4, if the meeting touches on team dynamics, use resources like how to ensure every participant gets heard to maintain inclusive communication in shared settings. Number 5, if tension resurfaces, address it directly and early. Do not let silence build again. For situations where the original tension stemmed from a piece of feedback that was delivered poorly, the approach and how to use the bridge method to repair a relationship damaged by poorly delivered feedback gives you a complementary framework. And if the meetings between you and this person have historically been unproductive or tense, the guidance in how to run productive meetings that don't waste time will help you create a structure that serves the relationship rather than straining it further. The work is yours to begin. Nobody is going to hand you a moment when repair becomes easy. That moment does not exist. What exists is a choice you make today, or next week, or the week after, to stop waiting for the silence to dissolve on its own. It will not. I have made this repair too many times in my own working life, and I have failed it just as often. What I know, after decades of getting it wrong before getting it right, is that the people who can rebuild trust after tension are not the ones without pride or without hurt. They are the ones who decided the relationship mattered more than the discomfort of beginning. Take the first step. Prepare honestly. Say the thing. Then prove it. One day at a time. The ability to rebuild trust after damage has been done is one of the most durable professional strengths you can develop. It will serve you in every working relationship you ever have. Frequently asked questions. How do you rebuild trust after unresolved tension at work? Rebuilding trust after unresolved tension requires acknowledgement before action. Name what happened, take your share of responsibility, and make a specific commitment to change. Trust is rebuilt through consistent follow-through over time, not through a single conversation, no matter how well it goes. Why is it so hard to rebuild trust after a conflict? It is hard because both people are usually waiting for the other to move first. Unresolved tension creates a protective distance that feels safer than vulnerability. Neither person wants to risk being dismissed again, so the damage compounds in silence until repair feels almost impossible. What should you say to rebuild trust after tension has damaged a relationship? Start by acknowledging the specific incident without deflecting blame. Say something like, "I know things between us have been strained since that meeting. I want to take responsibility for my part in it and talk about how we move forward." Keep it direct, brief, and free of justification. How long does it take to rebuild trust after unresolved tension? There is no fixed timeline. A single honest conversation can open the door, but the real work happens in the weeks that follow. Consistent, respectful behavior after the repair conversation is what actually rebuilds trust. One good talk followed by old patterns will erase the progress you made. What mistakes do people make when trying to repair a damaged working relationship? The most common mistake is apologizing without changing anything. Another is waiting for the other person to move first. People also rush the process, expecting the relationship to feel normal again immediately. Repair takes patience, repeated proof through action, and the courage to stay engaged even when it feels awkward. Can a working relationship recover after serious unresolved tension? Most working relationships can recover if both people are willing to engage honestly. The key word is willing. You cannot repair a relationship alone. You can only create the conditions for repair. If the other person chooses not to engage, the most you can do is hold your own conduct to a high standard. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.